Last Saturday, we returned home after a two-week family trip, and I was checking my work emails, wanted to find out what had been going on at work, and I saw an email that was unexpected. The email mentioned that the father of one of my fifth grade students had passed away unexpectedly. He was only 41 years old. The question is, where is he now? And if that was you, where would you be? I'm 49 years old. He was eight years younger than me. He left behind a wife and four children, one of which I had just had this past year when I was teaching fifth grade. But take off that age of 41. Let's pretend that that person was 7 or 13 or 22 or 61. Do you know where you're going if you were to die suddenly or unexpectedly? Let's begin by singing song number 332. I'm sorry, song number 322. This is a song of a man who also didn't have much time, and he had to make a decision. Would he be like his counterpart hanging on a cross and rail on the Lord Jesus, or would he choose a different route? There is a stream of precious blood which flowed from Jesus' veins, and sinners washed in that blessed flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that Savior in his day, and by that blood, though vile or bad as he, our sins are washed away. I'd like to sing the first three verses of number 322. Let's stand and sing them. There is
Lose all their guilty sins.
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as we have this time together, we pray that we would have listening ears and an open heart. And for each one in this room and each one who is listening to this recording, whether live or at a later date, we pray, Lord Jesus, that tonight, or as soon as they hear this message, they would repent and put their faith and trust in you, that they would know and tell others that they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior before it is too late. We ask this in your worthy and precious name. Amen. So thinking about the passing of this man reminds me of the importance of knowing for sure where you will spend eternity when you die, or if the Lord comes back first. Life can happen so quickly, so tonight's message is, I know. Can you say truly, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Last Sunday, so last week, we were on our way to Sunday school, and we drive by the Catholic church in town to get to Sunday school, and we were getting ready to make a left-hand turn, and the road was blocked. There was two police cars there. A little further ahead down the road, there was a vehicle that was just parked there. And close to the parked vehicle, there was an umbrella. What had happened? Somebody had left Mass that morning and walked across the street and was hit by a car. Someone was hit by a car leaving church last Sunday morning. Where is that person? Do they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? I don't know. As far as I know, and I'm thankful to say that the person was not seriously injured and I believe is going to be okay. But how often does that happen? Somebody get hit by a car right after a church service. So tonight, as you're sitting here, it's not all fun and games. It is important that you are prepared and you know where you're going. Tonight's, again, gospel message will be titled, I Know. In the scriptures, we can know the way of salvation. We can have the knowledge of salvation, and we can have the joy of salvation. Not wish for, not hope for, not long for, but we can know. So I'd like to look at the framework of five verses that reference or talk about I know. Let's begin with the first one in Psalm 56. And verse 9. Psalm 56, verse 9. The last part of the verse, this I know, for God is for me. Tonight I want to begin by just bringing out, as best I can and lovingly, I want you to know how much God loves you and cares about you. We sang a song this morning in Sunday school back in Richmond on the other side of the state. He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. And I like to begin the message by letting you know that God is for you. You've heard the verses. You know them well. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know in Luke 15 it says, this man receiveth sinners. He loves you. He wants you. God is for you. It says in Romans 2, verse 4, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Tonight, I want you to know that you are loved. He loves you so much. You're not here by accident. You're not here because of evolution. You're not here because of a big bang. You have a creator, and God loves you. This I know, God is for me. On Tuesday, we were able to visit with a young lady. She's in her, I would say, mid-30s. Is it 36 or 37? Her name is Jessica. 25 years ago, back in 2001, she came to the Gym Night Gospel Outreach in Richmond. And then she started coming to, eventually, to the Gym Night Gospel Outreaches in Roseville. She came to Vacation Bible School there in St. Clair Shores. Eventually came to, kind of moved around and came to the Vacation Bible School in Port Huron, came to the Gym Night Gospel Outreaches in Port Huron. The good news is that Jessica got saved as a young child. She has a couple of children, one's 16, one's 12 years old. But this Tuesday, we had a chance to reconnect with her and go visit her up in Port Huron. You know, one of her favorite songs is, we brought some song books to sing with her. You can probably guess, because you know that tonight's message is I Know. Can any of the children think of a song in the children's book that we sometimes sing that has the words I Know in it? Robert? 52. Jesus loves me. This I know. And that was a song that Jessica would often give out at Vacation Bible Schools. Tim, you might remember her giving that out. And it's the same thing today. So as we begin this message, Jesus loves me. This I know. God is for you. And hopefully as we're going over some of these verses, they might bring before you other songs that have that in there. Could anyone else think of a song that you sometimes sing in Sunday school that references I Know? It's number 39 in our Sunday school songbook. I'll start it. Jesus loves me and I know I love him. So I want you to know that God loves you. Can you say that tonight? This I know, that for God is for me. We need to get to the truth, though. Even though God loves us, we have sin in our life, don't we? Let's turn to Romans chapter... Oh, I didn't write the reference down. Can someone help me out? This is the verse, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I think it's in Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 18. Each one of us needs to come to the realization we need to know that in ourselves there is no good thing. In our Sunday school back home in Richmond today, we were taking up Romans chapter 3. Let's turn to it real quick in Romans chapter 3. And verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In the eyes of a holy and righteous God, we all come short. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's something that's been passed on from generation to generation, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, isn't it? It says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Do you have to teach a young child how to steal? You have to teach a young child how to lie. You have to teach a young child to say, no, daddy. You have to teach a young child, no, mommy. You have to teach a student, what do you mean, bro, when they're talking to their teacher. No, the disrespect, the sin, the lying, the stealing, that has been passed on from generation to generation. And we need to get to the point, it's not popular, but the truth is that we all have sin. You probably said the verses today in Sunday school. What was today's Sunday school verse? Who'd like to say the Sunday school verse in the evening? I don't have treats. All right, I see a hand up over there. Abigail? Marvel not. That's right, that was what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. And what we have to realize is that in ourself, in our flesh, there is no good thing. So it's not about trying to make ourselves better. Nothing here is going to improve our flesh. All the self-help books that you read, all the try-to-get-better books, that is not going to improve our sinful nature. Okay? We know in Isaiah it says, what, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We want to do our own thing. Okay, we need to realize that in ourselves, that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing that you do can improve yourself in the eyes of a holy, righteous God. And oh, by the way, he doesn't expect you any good thing from you. We need to see it from God's perspective. So, first verse, this I know, God is for me. He loves you. He wants you. For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Is there a remedy? Is there a way that our sins can be forgiven? We know there is, isn't there? The Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, did he? But he came to call sinners to repentance. And so the Lord Jesus was born. And here on earth he lived. He went about doing good. But we know that eventually at the age of 33, he went to Calvary's cross. And there he was punished for our sins. He was nailed to the on the Calvary's cross, and we have the two thieves on both sides. And there on the Calvary's cross, he bore the punishment that we deserve. And we know the story. The soldier with the spear came and thrust it in his side, and what came out? Blood and water. And the Lord Jesus was taken off the cross. He was buried. But we know that he rose again. He was seen of ones here on earth, and later went back to heaven, and he's soon coming home. So the Lord Jesus gave his life that you and I could have our sins forgiven. He was the one who bore the punishment for us. The judgment, he bore it on Calvary's cross. And in Genesis, we have, you guys are familiar with the story of Noah and the ark, right? God told him to build that ark. And the message went out, anybody who wants to can get inside the ark. Did people listen? No. But Noah was faithful. He built the ark. His wife got in the ark with him, his three sons and the three wives. So eight people total, they all got into the ark. And did the judgment come? Yes, the judgment came. It rained and rained and rained, and the floods came up and up and up. And everything on the earth was destroyed. The judgment came. What about the ones in the ark? Were they punished? No, they were safe when the judgment came, weren't they? And then we know that the waters went back down. And what did Noah do? He sent out a dove. And the dove came back. He also sent out a raven too. And the dove came back, but there was nothing there. And so a week later, he sent out the dove. And what did the dove come back with? What was in his mouth? Yes. An olive branch. And what does that represent? Is that the judgment was passed. The judgment was passed and life was coming back. And not only that, God gave him a sign of a rainbow. And what is the rainbow? That he would never judge the earth again with a flood. And the Holy Spirit is here and letting us know that judgment is past. And we will never have to bear our sins, never have to go through the judgment again if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So the question is, are you still here in your sins? Or have your sins been forgiven? Let's move on to the third verse. It's in Job chapter 19. When I was growing up, I thought this book was Job. But I've matured and learned some things over the years, and it's not Job, it's Job. Job chapter 19. And Job says something that's very, very important. And I'm going to pick it up in beginning with verse 23. Job chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock of forever. Job, I wonder what you're going to tell us. I wonder what you want to have written in a book. What's pressing on your heart, Job? What is it that you want to say? Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Let's go back to verse 25 and unpack that. It says, for I know my Redeemer liveth. Can you say that tonight? I know my Redeemer liveth. That man I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, the father of one of my students, where is he? That man who was hit exiting or leaving the Catholic Church last week, where is he? It's not about wishful thinking. You tonight can know where you're going. Job could say, for I know my Redeemer liveth. He didn't say, I know a Redeemer liveth. But he could say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Can you say, Jesus is my Savior? Can you really say that? Your dad can probably say that. Your mom can probably say that. But how about you? Can you say, Jesus is my Savior? I know my Redeemer liveth. Annetta, whose hat is that? That's a pretty hat. It looks like one that I'd like to have. Are you sure it's yours? You sure it's not Robert's? You sure it's not your mom? She'd probably wear a hat like that. Maybe grandma. She says it's hers. Do you know for sure that is yours? How do you know? Because she made it. If someone were to ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? How do you know? Can you say, I know my Redeemer liveth? There was a man in John chapter 9 who was blind. Someone who's blind can't see, right? And the Lord Jesus came and healed him. And he didn't understand who he was at the time and everything that happened, but he could say, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Wonderful, isn't it? I know I was blind, but now I could see. Do you think there's anybody in the Bible who said, I don't know who the Lord is? Robert shaking his head. Who is it, Robert? Tell me more. Sorry, I'm kind of putting you on the spot if you don't want to. He denied the Lord, didn't he? I see where you're saying. He denied the Lord, didn't he? But I'm thinking of someone in the Old Testament. Maybe one of the young people can help me out here. Who is a person in the Old Testament who, oh, I don't know who the Lord is. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus. That's a pretty sad thing to be able to say, I don't know the Lord. Job could say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Exodus chapter 5. Bernie, could you read verses 1 and 2 nice and loud? Isn't that a sad indictment on him? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Would you like to be like Job and say, I know my Redeemer liveth? Or would you like to be like Pharaoh and says, I know not the Lord? Let me ask a question. Which one do you think you're going to see in heaven? Do you think you're going to see Job in heaven? Give me a thumbs up if you think you're going to see Job in heaven. Good. You're right. Give me a thumbs up if you think you're going to see Pharaoh in heaven. No, I see some thumbs down over there. He didn't know the Lord. That's pretty simple, right? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to where? Heaven. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. Okay? So make it personal. Can you say, just like Annette can say, this is my hat. I know it's my hat. I made this hat. I like this hat. And you say, Jesus is my Savior. Okay, going on to the fourth verse. I'm going to turn to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You guys are doing a good job listening and participating. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 14. Benjamin, would you read it nice and loud for us? Ecclesiastes 3:14.
I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him.
Thank you. We started off with this, I know that God is for me. Then we talked about I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Then we talked about, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can say that. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you're like Pharaoh and say, I don't know who the Lord is. The reason why I included this verse in the message tonight, the gospel message tonight, is this is a verse that helped me have what we call assurance of salvation. When I was growing up, sometimes I would hear a gospel message, and it was really good and it was really powerful, and I would hear the person talk about heaven and hell, and then afterwards I'd want to get saved. And then I'd hear another one later and I'd want to get saved just to be sure. And the truth is I did not need to get saved multiple times. You only get saved once, right? But I did not have assurance of my salvation. Has that happened to anyone else in this room? Like, I know the Lord Jesus is coming soon. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to go to hell. And so you ask the Lord Jesus again, but you didn't need to. This is the verse that helped me take care of the issue of doubt. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And when he gave me eternal life, and if you have accepted him as your Savior, you have eternal life, and it is forever. So we should not have questions about, well, can I lose my salvation? No. We know from John 10, 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We cannot lose our salvation. So like Job, if you say, I know my Redeemer liveth, Once you are saved, you are always saved. And John even develops it in his 1 John. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5:13. So when Benjamin reads, "Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it is forever. Is there anything that you can do to earn your salvation? Jacob, is there anything that we can do to earn our salvation? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. So the opposite is also true. There is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. You should know that. If you're at school, at college, and someone says, "Well, you know, you've done some things, you might lose that salvation of yours," you need to know for sure there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation, and there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. What God does, it is forever. And it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." So let's talk about it. Where are your sins then? The Lord Jesus, he bore them on the cross, didn't he? When he was nailed to the cross. In fact, he was forsaken of God because of those sins. And God has raised him from the dead. And now he's in heaven. So where are all those sins? I need help solving this. Where are all those sins? They were on him when he was on the cross. He was forsaken of God. We know that he finished the work completely and perfectly. He said, "It is finished." The soldier then thrust the spear in his side. The blood flowed out. His body was taken off of the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He was with his disciples and others. He went back to heaven. He can't have sins in heaven. Where are those sins then? Yes?
In hell.
Thank you for that part. They're not in hell. Where are their sins? Philip, help me out. Where are those sins? What's that? They are behind his back. Yes, that is right. They are behind his back. Yes, those sins are gone. Gone. You cannot lose your salvation. Those sins are gone. In fact, I like how it's been said, they are out of mind, they are out of reach, and they are out of sight. Okay? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, "Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." They are out of his mind. Doesn't think about them anymore. He remembers them no more. Our sins have been put out of his reach. Okay? The verse that you quoted again, would you quote that again for us? Abigail? How far is the east is from the west? We can't measure. It's out of reach. We can't. I can't. The east, the west. This is the west. I live over on the east side. This is the west side. Here we can measure it, but if we're going all, where's the west, where's the east, we can't measure it. And Bernie, as you said, they've been cast all our sins behind his back. They're out of sight. The other day we were at the Richmond Pool, and Cambria was kind of tapping me on the shoulder, and she was wanting me to look around, and where is she? But here's the thing, if she was behind me touching my back, when I look, I couldn't see her. Right, Cambria? Out of sight. So our sins are gone. When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, those sins are gone. Okay? They're out of mind, they're out of reach, and they're out of sight. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Do you have assurance? Can you say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine"? Now, we still have a sinful nature, and that's a whole other thing. Okay? We still have the flesh in us, and we'll have the flesh until we die or the Lord comes to take us home. But in connection with our sins have been forgiven. Okay? A couple other verses in connection with that. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. I'm sorry. Yes. Kind of jumped out of sight there. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and the Lord knoweth them that are his. So not only can you know, but the Lord knows. Is it possible for the Lord to say, I don't know you? It tells us, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I know my sheep. This is Solomon. This is serious here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, right? Five are wise and five are what? Help me out. Starts with F. Everybody. Foolish. Five are prepared and five are unprepared, right? And we know that the bridegroom comes. They that are ready go in. The door is shut. The other virgins come back. Let's pick it up. Verse 11, would you like to read it for us, Terry? Nice and loud. Yes.
Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
I want to apply this in the gospel sense, so please give me the liberty to do that. The Lord, God knows everyone, right? He knows his sheep. He knows them that are his. But if someone tries to say, well, when I die, I'm just going to go to heaven, is that going to work? It's not going to work. The reality is, I know you not. Your name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You never accepted me as your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Your sins were never washed away. I don't know you. Remember, the end of a sinful life is hell. And Jesus is the one who speaks about hell, isn't he? He says, it is better for thee to enter life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Notice that he said, it shall never be quenched. We sometimes use the word never, but we don't always mean it, right? Remember Peter, who had mentioned Peter? I think, Robert, you had mentioned Peter. Peter mentioned to the Lord Jesus, oh, you'll never wash my feet. And what happened? Shortly after, the Lord washed his feet, right? He also mentioned, basically, I will never deny you. And what happened? He did deny him, right? So when we say never, we don't always follow through with it. But when the Lord Jesus says never, he means never. Okay? So, if you receive God's gift of salvation, you will never perish. But the opposite is also true. If you reject God's gift of salvation, you will end up in hell where the fire is never quenched. What side do you want to be on? The side where it says you will never perish? Or be on the side where the fire is never quenched? Remember, the end of a sinful life is hell. I'm concerned that there's people in this room tonight who are pretending to be Christians but have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Okay. How many people are here at this camp right now? Probably about 200. So my guess right now in this room, I know some kids are not here, there's probably at least 10 people in this room who are not saved. I was actually talking with my wife, asking her how many that she thinks would be in this room that aren't saved, and she actually gave a very similar answer too. There's probably 10 to 20 people in this room. Okay. It's very serious. You can say the Bible verses, you can sing the songs in Sunday school, And you can pretend, but do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Did you know of the disciples? One of them was not real. Which one was not real? Yes? Judas. Is he the one that you would expect to be the one that was not real? I think if I was trying to figure out the disciple that was most likely to be the one that is a devil, I think that's how it's referred to in John, I'd probably choose Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times, chopped off a servant's ear. None of that sounds very Christ-like, does it? Yet the one that was not real was one there's not a whole lot said about him, is Judas. Is there a Judas in this room? One who's acting like a Christian? One who knows the right things to say, but has not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start to wrap things up. So we've had 5 verses tonight on the theme of I know. I want you to know that God is for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He gave his son to die for you. Then I need you to realize that in me there dwelleth no good thing, that we have a sinful nature, and that the Lord Jesus died for sinners. Then I want you to think of the next verse, Job, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Are you like Job and can say, I know my Redeemer liveth? Or are you like Pharaoh, says, I know not the Lord? Okay, which one are you? Then I want you to think about the verse that Benjamin read. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. You can never lose your salvation. You can't earn it, and you can't lose it. And then I took the liberty from that portion in Matthew 25. I know you not. Okay. Can you truly say, I know Jesus as my Savior? There's a poem that I like. It says, to lose your health is much. To lose your wealth is more. To lose your soul is such a loss as no man can restore. I'm almost 50 years old now. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Chances are you probably didn't hear anything new tonight. That's okay. My heart is that you would accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There isn't anything new in the Scriptures. His word doesn't change. Every time I read the Bible, Noah builds the ark, and his family is saved. None of them get destroyed in the flood, right? Every time we read the Bible, David beats Goliath. Every time I read about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, he lives. When I get to the New Testament, every time I read the story of the birth of Jesus, there's no room in the inn. But Mary and Joseph are able to find a place, and the baby is laying in a manger when the shepherds are born. Every time I read the story of Nicodemus, he learns the truth. He must be born again. Every time I read the story of Zacchaeus, he climbs the tree, and the Lord knows he's there, calls him by name, and comes to his house. Every time I read John 4, the woman has an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and her life is forever changed. This is my favorite one. Every time I read Luke 15, the Father is always watching and prepared to welcome the prodigal. Every time. Every time. Every time we read the crucifixion story, we're reminded there's still power in the blood. It is the blood that cleanses us from all sin. You know what you need to do. We Will you acknowledge tonight that you are a sinner? God says that all have sinned. Is he wrong? Do you believe that Jesus wants to save you? Tonight, do you believe that he is able to save you? Do you believe that he's willing to save you? When does he want to save you? Right now. You know what you need to do. Bow your head with me. Let's get it done. If you're still not sure what you can, I like to think of the ABCs. Acknowledge that you have sinned. Jesus, I have sinned. I am a sinner. B, believe. I believe you died for me. C, please come into my heart. I believe you died for me. Please wash my sins away and come into my heart. I'll go over that again. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's not a formula or anything like that. Just like you would be talking to your grandpa, your grandma, your father, your mother, we talk to the Lord. Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. Please come into my heart. Wash my sins away. And like I said, every time we read Luke 15, the Father is always prepared and waiting for the prodigal child to come home. We're going to close with a song, 193. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can sing this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, just keep your mouth shut. You'd be singing a lie. Jesus, my Savior, thou art mine, the Father's gift of love divine. All thou hast done and all thou art are now the portion of my heart. Let's stand and we'll sing 193 in closing. Jesus, my Savior. To the dads and moms in this room, I want you to ask your children tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Boys and girls, young people, it's a yes or a no. Okay. Last thing I'll share with you before we pray is the father of the boy in my class who passed away unexpectedly. I'm happy to say that he knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I will see him in heaven. And like Job, if you can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, you will see him in heaven. If you are like Pharaoh and say, I know not the Lord, let's get that changed. Get that changed tonight. This will be the best Michigan family camp if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that by the end of this camp, even by the end of tonight, every single person in this room could say, Jesus, my Savior, thou art mine. We just pray that it would be so. Pray that anything that has been said, the enemy would not take it. We pray that the hearts of these dear ones would be opened. We ask this in your worthy and precious name. Amen.